Very happy to welcome in at Sportsnet's Craig Forrest, one of our top soccer analysts. Absolute pleasure to have him on the program, especially on a day like today, Craig, where I would imagine for you, this is a pretty happy moment, pretty cool moment for you.
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is. It wasn't that long ago that most people would laugh at the fact that Canada would be in the conversation. And for this to happen, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for most people to go to a World Cup in your own country, let alone the opportunity for some young players in the future for Canada to represent at a World Cup, even though that's not a guarantee. But we would imagine that the three teams would get automatic entry.
Well, and the national team is one thing, but this has to speak to how the sport itself has grown in this country, with how Major League Soccer has really gotten a foothold and how we've seen people take to the sport and come out and watch the sport. It really has grown in this country in the last 10 or 15 years, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has. Not as quickly as many would like, but when you really do look at what's happened, the development of the game has really moved on, especially from a professional standpoint. From hosting tournaments, we've hosted just about everything in this country, from U19 Women's World Cups to U20 Men's Full Women's National Games and so on. And we've done it really well. And I remember even going back to 2002, I believe it was, with the Women's Under-19 Women's World Cup, and how Sepp Blatter was here, and he was the president of FIFA at the time, of course, and he was blown away by it. Couldn't believe how many people came out to watch it. They were not expecting that. And as far as that standpoint goes, we run great tournaments. This is a terrific country, and people are going to love coming here as well. But the development of the game certainly has moved on, and this is going to be another step, a massive platform for people to look forward to for the next 8 years and build toward, and dollars coming into the program and excitement and buzz around it. And hopefully a mindset change as well from our national program, that we need to change that to move forward, to try to, do more than just represent our country, but represent it mm-hmm. well enough at the world stage that we can actually make some noise.
And I want to get into the national team in just a couple of minutes, but why do you think that we have seen such an increase in interest and eyeballs when it comes to the sport in this country over the last 10 or 15 years?
Why do I think that there's been more eyeballs on it?
Yeah.
Well, it's a good question. I think social media, the exposure on TV, the exposure to everything, more so than, like, if you live in England, you don't see as many Premier League games live as you do in this country. So great exposure to it. And I think just from a participation standpoint, it's never been a problem. There are about 850 to a million registered players. 95% of them are in it for the recreational side of the sport, and that's great. But there are a percentage would like to, go professional or move into that environment, which we have opportunities now with the three MLS teams. More players are sort of heading over into Europe. We need some more playing at the very top end, of course, but hopefully that will come. And as well as some of the players that all have turned their back on Canada in the past, now will, relish the opportunity to play in a World Cup. So hopefully that won't happen.
You talk about the platform, right? The platform that this could have to engage more young Canadians and get more people into the sport. But just a little bit more on that. Like, how big of a platform are we possibly talking here?
Well, it is massive. It'll be the biggest sporting event certainly Canada's ever had. We would go back to the Olympics in 76, the 2010 Winter Olympics that was successfully held in Vancouver. This is massive. I mean, the world stage is everywhere. It's every corner of the globe. And with 48 countries, that's a lot of exposure as well to the game. Development, I think, provincially has been good. I think moving forward, that they're going to have to do even better as they're pulling in the right direction and the same direction. And I think that starts right at the very top. And the coach, John Herdman, as well, who do a magnificent job and galvanizing the whole country, hopefully, around this national program to continue the growth.
Craig Forrest is with us from Sportsnet. As the United bid for the 2026 World Cup was named as the winner today, Canada, the United States, and Mexico will all host games in 2026 for the first time, 48 teams will take part in the World Cup. Let's talk about the three cities that are on the short list to host games. First of all, where we are in Calgary, pretty excited that Edmonton might be hosting games at Commonwealth Stadium, but talking about a little earlier, I mean, Edmonton's got a pretty long legacy of being a good international and national soccer city in this country. They really have done a great job in the past.
They really have. I mean, we always part of the national program when the decision was made to, you know, try Edmonton and see what the support would be like there. And they've never failed us. I mean, we go back even to the Brazil match in 1994, prior to them winning the World Cup, we drew with them. We had a really good team that particular year too. And unfortunately, there's only one spot came out of CONCACAF because of the Americans took the other spot. So there was very small chance there. We did really well to finish second in CONCACAF, but wasn't good enough. But there were 60 or 55,000 for that game. Games against even Cuba, El Salvador, Jamaica, Australia in the playoffs for the 94 World Cup. Always British well supported in Edmonton, and I thought it was a no-brainer that they went there. The one that's really sort of glaring is the absence of Vancouver. That was a disaster. How I understand it, the city had some questions about security and other financial costs, which is rightly so, but you could only give trends. You couldn't tell them exactly what the security costs would be in 2026, of course, and they only needed to get the name in the hat. They could even pull out later on down the road in a few months if they didn't like it, and they just had to get in there, and they failed to hit the deadline, and they don't, now they haven't got a chance at it, which is just criminal in my my opinion, because obviously a very hot soccer area and always has been.
Yeah, really, in a lot of ways, and that entire Pacific Northwest. But in this country, is Vancouver not kind of the hub of the sport right now?
Well, not as much as it used to be. From a national team program, most of the players are coming from the east side. We used to be split, BC and Ontario, and then maybe a couple from some of the other provinces. But most of the players were Ontario and BC. So, yeah, it's sort of even a hotbed. And youth soccer development, and the Vancouver Whitecaps professionally have done well historically. It's a sad day for them, really, that they're not even at least in the conversation.
And I guess Toronto and Montreal were pretty natural selections. Vancouver seemed like it was as well, but Toronto and Montreal, pretty natural selections.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Olympic Stadium, I can't imagine in 2026 what that stadium looks like. It's decrepit. It's really, really old. And I think the only reason why they haven't pulled it down is it costs more to pull it down to keep it up. So I'm not sure what will happen at that stadium. There'll have to be some money pumped into that for sure. The Toronto expansion, it's a no-brainer there. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity for those cities, and I'm sure they'll do a terrific job.
Sportsnet's Craig Forrest is with us on the Big Show this afternoon. So, first of all, what does this mean for the national team? And I know that it's not set in stone, but what do we know about whether or not Canada will be participating in the 2026 World Cup by automatic entry, or whether or not they'll have to qualify? Do we know anything definitively?
No, not really. Okay, it might be some time. All you can look at is that nobody's, in history has always qualified after winning the World Cup. So, you would expect would be the case for any of the host nations to always have their teams in it. And when there's 48 teams, you would think that Canada should qualify anyway. If you don't qualify with 48 teams, I mean, that's an awful lot of teams. And from a sporting standpoint, which is another conversation, I think it's a disastrous decision. But from Canada's point of view, down the road, you should qualify when CONCACAF should get seven spots. How times have changed. And by the way, Alphonso Davies, I mean, anybody saw him do his speech at that FIFA conference today, a 17-year-old Canadian, come from Africa, come here the hard way, speaks like he does about this country and what it represents and what it represents for his family and the opportunity. He is tied with Canada. He can only play for Canada. He wants to play for Canada, and he will be the flag bearer, hopefully, moving forward, although it's a lot of weight for him to bear, too, at 17, to deal with that for the next 8 years.
Well, you talk about him and the promise that he has going forward. Just for a second, let's pretend that Canada does not have an automatic entry, or maybe the question's better asked, how from now until 2026 does this men's program get to the point where they are one of the six best teams in CONCACAF, or they are one of the top 48 teams in the world?
Well, I think with the extra dollars that should come in through this and looking into the future of sponsorship, there should be an injection into the program. We'll hopefully have a center of excellence. I think John Herbin's a great manager for the national team program. He needs to win as much as the players do. They buy behind his program. He speaks really well. And they'll be excited to change that mindset to, you know, not like I said, don't just represent. Let's change the mindset of Canadian soccer that we can actually, you know, make some noise in a very positive way. And why not? And when you look at a country of Iceland of 330,000 people, mm-hmm. what they have actually produced and done in that very small country when everybody's working in the same direction, that's a big problem here as well. We all have to be working in the same direction. And when you do, pretty incredible things can happen. And with 8 years to work on it, who knows what can happen in 8 years.
I thought it was really interesting and something that I'd never thought of until you brought it up a couple of minutes ago. But, you know, we have seen Canadian players who have decided to go play for other nations because there's more of an opportunity to actually succeed and compete on the world stage. What could this do to Canadian players who are thinking that way or who maybe weren't thinking about staying with the Canadian flag when it comes to who they represent nationally?
Well, that's it. Alfonso Davies, he didn't care about anything else other than this country gave his family an opportunity for a better life here. And that was his decision. I respect that. And I grew up in this country, and if I ever had an opportunity to play for somebody else, and I could have because I was living in England, it didn't. Yeah, I want to represent where I'm from and where the Maple Leaf win, lose, or draw. And we've seen some other players for different reasons not do that. And just for themselves, selfishly, Hargreaves, you could say Asmir Begovic, Junior Hoylett, who plays for the national program now. It was a long time before he did play for the national program because things professionally were going well for him. He was making lots of money. He didn't really need Canada. And then when he needed it, he came back, thankfully, and played for us. And he needed it as a stepping stone for his career, which he used it for. And now he's part of Canada. But you want players to want to be here. And if they want to be part of the program, want to be part of that moving forward and be a winning team and not just take part, John Herbin will take them in with open arms.
Craig, what do you remember about the only time Canada's competed in a World Cup going back to 1986? What memories, what kind of reflections do you have on that?
Well, I mean, obviously it was a big occasion, and I was already in the UK. I had very little, the CSA had zero to do with my, and well, to be honest, most of the Canadian players that played for the national team's success, if you like, when you went over to Europe. So I was hoping to be, even though I would have been the youngest goalkeeper ever to play, I was hoping to be part of the team. I was already a couple of years experience in the UK and in the top end of that league. I mean, I wasn't playing in the first team, but I was, you know, playing pretty high level and wanted to be part of that. So I was somewhat disappointed that I wasn't, and the CSA sort of turned their back on me at that stage. And it wasn't until after the Under-20 World Cup that I played in for Canada and Chile in 87 that I then sort of took over the first team reins at 1988. So, yeah, but obviously that was another big step for Canadian soccer. And the North American Soccer League was around. 1994 had a great team, should have qualified, but unfortunately the rules were pretty mm-hmm. tight back then for us. And it was going to be difficult. But, yeah, the World Cup changes everything for many reasons.
Great stuff, Craig. Be remiss if I didn't ask you about the World Cup that is starting here in a matter of days. Your excitement level for Russia 2018 as we're just a few days away from the first game.
Well, you know, I hope it's going to be a good tournament. I think Euro was a little bit disappointing from a spectator or a neutral's point of view, unless you're a Portuguese fan, of course, who grinded it out. I think we will see a certain amount of defensive football. Until the knockout stage is a little bit more open, but Germany, Brazil, two favorites, rightly so. Germany, even last year in the Confederations Cup, took a B team over there and won the tournament, so really deep. Dark horses, Belgium, Croatia, Argentina perhaps, Messi could carry them some way, and then the fun teams, if you like, the ones that you don't have anybody particularly that you want to follow, and you want somebody, Iceland is a great one, where I talk about 330,000 people yeah. and have a good team. They're not just there. Like they're actually a really good side. And Egypt's a fun side. They're quite defensive, but when you have Mo Salah, the Liverpool player in them, he plays with a smile on his face, loves the game, and he's a joy to watch. So a couple of fun teams there.
Outstanding stuff, Craig. Really appreciate the time today. I know it's been a busy day. I know it's been a really important day for the sport in this country. So thank you so much for sharing your observations and your reflections. We'll catch up with you again soon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Craig Forrest from Sportsnet joining us on the big show this afternoon here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The United bid is in. It'll be Canada, 10 games. Mexico, 10 games. And the United States will host 60 games, 48 teams in the World Cup for the first time in 2026.